Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha eats.
It is a Minneapolis institution, a Vietnamese restaurant that has stood the test of time. But when it opened in the 1980s, well, frankly, a lot of people in Minnesota didn't have any idea what any of this stuff on the menu was. From three tables to a place that is on just about every food expert's list as a must visit in Minneapolis. We are so excited here on DeRusha Eats to have the second and third generation of Quang Restaurant with us. The family-run restaurant that has really become a standard in Minneapolis. Heather Mandanis is here, as is Andrew Trump. It's so good to have you both with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Heather, and you too, Andrew. Say hello.
Sorry, yeah, thank you, Jason. It's an honor to be here.
Your family's restaurant, when you look at where it started in 1989, Heather, it's been, I mean, it must pinch yourself to see the success that you continue to have today.
We started this restaurant with my mom back in 1989. At the time, she was widowed with seven kids. And
how old were you at that time?
I was 15.
So you're a teenager. Yeah. Your mom is in Minneapolis after fleeing Vietnam.
Correct.
And she's starting a restaurant. And you as a teenager, teenage Heather was thinking what?
Why do I have to be in this situation? And why do I have to work every day?
Right. Exactly. This was you weren't given an option as to whether or not you were going to work.
No, I should be out playing sports, but nope, right after school, here we are. We've always played, so there were seven of us, and we've always played a role in helping our mom raise us. It was very hard for her. I mean, she had to be a mom and a dad at the same time.
Tell us the story, because the story, and for sure, Andrew, you as the third generation, hearing these stories about your grandma and your family, your aunts and uncles and your everybody fleeing Vietnam. Heather, tell us the story.
So we left Vietnam in 1978, and that was during the fall of Saigon. And we left in the middle of the night. My mom didn't even tell her parents. And so there were seven of us, and the youngest was only 6 months.
Whoa.
My dad said we should leave her behind, and my mom said, no, we're taking her. Because if something were to happen to her, at least I know where she is. So we fleed on a fishing boat, and we drifted at sea for days, and we ran out of fresh water. And when we saw a boat, we waved them down, flagged them down for help, but they turned out to be Thai pirates, and instead of helping us, they robbed us.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, this is in a time where there's no GPS, there's no phone, Google Maps,
no,
there's nothing.
No, nothing.
You're just floating.
Yes.
And then here come the pirates and rob you.
Yeah.
And you remember this?
I was 4 at the time.
You were 4.
So I hear stories that were told to
sort
me.
Of good you don't remember it, I would imagine. Yeah.
I know.
Very traumatizing.
Very. But luckily, when they robbed us, my dad still had a gold bar in his shirt pocket that they didn't find. So when we landed in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, that was where our refugee camp was, we used that to kind of get started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That one gold bar that he kept hidden unlocked a whole life for you guys.
Yeah. And while we were at refugee camp, we started to make pastries and stuff just to sell, to get by. But lucky for us, my dad fought in the war with the U.S. So we only had to stay there for 6 months. And then a Lutheran church in St. Cloud sponsored our family. And that's how we came to the U.S.
What a story.
Mm-hmm.
So you started in St. Cloud?
Yes. And from 78 and then 1983 was when my dad suddenly passed away. And at the time, we were basically barely learning. We knew English. Nobody knew in the family knew how to drive. And so then my mom was widowed with 7 kids at, I think she was 36.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And your dad's name was?
My dad's name is Kwong.
Yeah.
So we named the restaurant in honor of him.
How about that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Chills just talking about it.
Right. I'm getting chills and it's not my family. I mean, it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
And so you're in St. Cloud.
Yep. So after he passed away, we actually moved the whole family to California. Because my mom has 2 uncles that live there.
So she wanted to be around some family to have some support.
Yes, correct. But after being there for 6 months, we absolutely hated it. We didn't like anything about California.
You've had St. Cloud, you could understand.
Life was very fast-paced, very different.
Yeah.
So we rented a Ryder truck and a couple of friends. So we threw a mattress in the back of this Ryder truck, and there were a couple of friends that helped us drive back to St. Paul.
Wow.
So we all loaded up in the back.
What a story. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And with you and your 6 siblings, right?
Correct.
Where do you fall on the age range of the group?
I'm right in the middle.
Yeah, I can sense that.
Yeah.
Middle child energy here for sure. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And your mom's name is?
Lung.
Lung Tran.
Yes.
Unbelievable. What made her decide to open a restaurant?
At the time, we were homemakers, so we would have to put these hotel kits together, mending kits, sewing kits. And so right after school, as soon as we got home from school, we would have to sit down, do that until 9-10 o'clock at night. And then we would get to do our homework. But by that time, I was so tired that I would just, and the next day I would fall asleep in school.
Yeah, of course.
Just from working. And then
Just trying to survive. You guys were just trying to get through the next day.
Correct. Because when you think about it, if we put 1,000 of these kits together, we got paid $14.
Hmm.
And there's a middleman that takes a cut.
Of course, right. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And on the weekends, we would make these pastries. And then we would go around these Asian supermarkets and ask them to sell it for us.
Huh.
And then they also get their cut,
right,
of course.
Right.
But the story of how it got started was when the person that finally got cut out of the middleman, the family that we cut out making these kits,
right?
They got upset with us. So then they actually called the health department on our family because we were making these pastries in our garage.
Oh, so revenge. They were let's stick it to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the health department shut it down?
Yeah. But then when one door closes, another one opens. So this prompted us to find a location.
Oh.
And that's how we ended up in South Minneapolis.
How about that? The first store opening on Eat Street.
Mm-hmm.
Across from your current location. The first location was across the street.
Yep.
And Heather, that first location you remember well because you were a teenager.
Yes. It was actually called Kwong Pastry and Deli because when we initially opened, we were just going to focus on sandwiches, pastries, coffee. We didn't have restaurant in mind. We started off with four tables. And then
four tables.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then over time, the landlord was able to give us a little bit more space. So four became eight. And then over the course of 10 years, eight became 12. And then we started to try some dishes and people just absolutely loved it. And I remember there used to be lines out the door, just people waiting to dine in.
This is in the 90s, probably.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Can I add something to
Please.
This?
Please.
I mean, so I'm around the front often, and to this day, we still see customers who, hey, I've been a customer since across the street, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah. Like, the Minneapolis community has been a blessing to us, so.
Isn't that amazing? Because you look back at that time, 1989, and we did have some Vietnamese food in this community. Mm-hmm. We had some knowledge of a noodle soup. We had some Hmong people. But we, you know, the explosion in Asian food in this community wasn't happening at the time you guys first got started. People didn't really know what a lot of this was, did
right.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you that pho has definitely blown up.
Pho was not really, in 1989, there wasn't a lot of pho. There was some, but not a lot, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And now everybody on a cold Minnesota day, everybody wants pho.
It is the perfect Minnesota food in many ways, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah. What a story. What a story. That's Heather Mondanis. Andrew Truong is with us as well. Second and third generation of Kwong Restaurant. Now, I asked you before we started about the pronunciation, because for people listening, it's Q-U-A-N-G. And for me, as a white guy in Minnesota, the white guy way to say your restaurant is Kwong. You got to really Minnesota it. You got to put a little bit of nasal in the A. Correct? They're laughing.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
We don't want to say this, but we'll let the white guy say it.
Say that.
Okay. Yes. Kwong is how a lot of people say it.
Yes.
But Heather, you pronounce it.
So some people say Kwong, some people say Kwong, but the correct pronunciation is the Q is silent, and it's actually pronounced Wang.
Wang.
Yep. Which was my dad's first name.
Andrew, can you say it right?
Wang.
All right. Very good.
Sure.
No family disagreement here.
No, yeah.
Everybody says it the same way.
But we tell everybody it doesn't matter how you say it as long as you just come in.
When you look at where you're at today, you know, much bigger restaurant, 150 seats, crazy takeout operation that really
yes.
exploded post-COVID and exploded in the way that people eat now with third-party yes. delivery, with the DoorDashers and the Uber Eats and all of that stuff. You know, what when you think about your grandma, Andrew, mm-hmm. and like just a little pastry shop, what do you think about that as you look through the arc of the 36 years?
Yeah, so growing up, it's I've been maybe even younger starting out in this restaurant, but I've seen it grown from, you know, the dine-in and now what you said post-COVID, the takeout.
And you really grew up in the restaurant, right?
Oh, yes. I started when I was maybe grade school, so like third grade.
What was your first job?
Like in terms of...
Well, what did they make you do? You know, unofficial, your family. So, you know, the law lets you do some work.
He's just helping out.
Dishwashing?
We started with bussing.
Bussing.
I actually enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah.
I was moving around. Then we started making drinks, yep.
Yeah.
Waters, bubble teas. And now kind of shifting into a different role now here at Kwong.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
24.
Yep.
Did you always know that you wanted to do this, or did you think like, I got to get away from this because I spent my whole childhood in here.
Coming out of college, I did start in the corporate world. And that was during COVID. So, and I had the experience of working around there. It wasn't really for me. Now looking back, I see this legacy and this family. If I'm going to put everything into this workforce, I'm going to do it for my family. So I enjoy being around these guys often and every day.
Isn't that amazing, Heather? Because I think a lot of people, I have a lot of friends who have second generation or third generation family businesses, especially in the food business. And that is often the path, right? Where you go to college, you're like, no way in hell I want to be associated with this. I want to go do something different. But there's something in the heart that for people with the hospitality heart, it draws you back in, right?
Yeah. It's actually very gratifying to see. And I mean, it's so sweet that he enjoys working with his aunts and uncles, his dad. I mean, not just being there, but he actually, like, his heart is in it and he really cares about the business. And he wants to see us grow even more.
Mm. When you look at your family, how many family members, Heather, are involved?
So right now there's 5 siblings that's still involved. And then niece, nephew. So family wise, maybe.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, 7.
You got to make a lot of money to support all these family members, right?
Exactly. And not to mention staff.
Right. How many people work at the restaurant?
I would say roughly around like 20 to 30.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
when you look at the family legacy and look at the number of people working there, Heather, mm-hmm. I wonder if you would reflect a little bit on the impact that your family and your restaurant has had. You think about how many lives, first jobs, people who still work there, people who've worked there for 2 or 3 decades. You must have a lot of that. That's got to be pretty amazing.
Yes, for sure. We have staff that's worked with us for 20 plus years. And at this point, they've pretty much become family. And so just knowing that they're a part of our family and we kind of feel responsible.
Yeah.
For that as well.
And, you know, as a youngin' or grade school, you know, I grew up seeing these guys around the restaurant and I've learned a lot from my parents and my aunts and see how they treat the staff at our restaurant.
Huh.
They would.
What do you mean? How do they treat people?
So, you know, we have a big family. Any hand-me-downs I see, especially my dad, bring diapers for my staff, like when they have their children. Diapers, clothes, and also seeing like how we just cook all these family meals for them. You know, we're in the restaurant business. We got a big old kitchen. Not everyone likes eating the same food. So now here and then we would cook just some food and spread for the team.
Yeah.
Make everybody feel loved and involved.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's really cool. I mean, that is, you look at that and think, you know, so many restaurants struggle with turning over staff.
Yep.
And we also see, you know, I think in the restaurant industry, there's a lot more unrest from staff members. You see more restaurants talking about unionization. Mm-hmm. And I always think some of that is like, well, sometimes people are just want to unionize or whatever, but sometimes you think like, maybe you weren't treating the people very well and you end up with some unrest. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's huge how you treat people. And they obviously see it.
That's cool.
They feel it. Mm-hmm.
Heather Mondanis and Andrew Truong are with us from Wang Restaurant.
You can say Kwong. No one's going to know what you're talking about when you say Wang.
Wang, I know. It is... I want to ask you a little bit about Vietnamese food. And when you look at, Heather, when you look at your restaurant, one of the things that I love about it is that, I don't know, sometimes restaurants where people are honoring their ethnic background have become Americanized, right? You're doing the Minnesota version of whatever it is. How would, I guess on that scale, where would you put your restaurant?
I think our recipes are very authentic. And it comes from my mom, which is handed down to us. And she actually, when she handed the restaurant to us, she was actually pretty nervous, scared, didn't know if we'd be able to keep up the flavors, the taste.
Right. Because she was supervising all of that.
Oh, yes. How supervising, micromanaging.
It's a different generation, but it's also her late husband's name on the door.
Yes.
It's different.
It's her baby. She loves this restaurant like it's her eighth child.
Yeah. Right? Right.
And she did not want to see us fail.
When did she hand it to you?
Has it been 7 years?
Yeah. So just before COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you nervous that you wouldn't be able to keep up the legacy?
No.
Yeah.
We had confidence that we could do it.
What gave that to you?
She had to believe in us.
Oh, she had to believe in you. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had to prove it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time. But at night when we close, she would run over and check just to make sure we did everything that we were supposed to do.
Like you're cleaning the way she wants and putting stuff away the way she wants.
Yeah, and if anything was out of place, you would hear it the next day.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you look at that? Did that make you mad at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
It did.
Of course.
Because we thought that we were doing a great job, but nope, there's always something that she would find.
With some distance, do you feel differently about her level of micromanagement? Do you understand it at least? Or are you still annoyed?
Yes, but I think that I understand it, but I think she can be a little extreme.
Yeah. It's a different generation too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think about the food, your menu is sort of divided. I think you're legendary for your pho, mm-hmm. but you have banh mi, noodle soup. Describe, Andrew, how kind of what some of the classics are that on your menu.
So I would say the favorites as of now with the new demographics in South Minneapolis, we've seen a lot of people order the seared salmon, the lemongrass chicken, and then the pad thai, and also the noodle salads, especially during this season, the summertime.
Yeah. What do you think has changed when you're looking at changing demographics? I mean, you, Heather, certainly have like the view of over the last 30 years. How has the favorites or how have the desires sort of changed by your guess?
I think, well, we've also, over the years, we've also added
dishes. Oh, you've added more, of course, yeah.
Like lemongrass and pad thai came later. But when we first started, it was pho, and it was like this seafood soup, rice platters. But
the lemongrass is pretty spicy, right?
It's
somewhat spicy, yeah.
Minnesota spicy?
A little
spicy.
Well, Minnesota spicy.
Yeah, yeah.
But to add on, we have been seeing a lot of customers nowadays who stay away from pork. And I know at least at the restaurant, we have a lot of dishes with pork. But
more Muslim guests?
Yeah.
So for religious purposes, they don't eat pork?
Yeah.
How interesting. So you respond, right? You respond to your customer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the beef, there's no pork. And we see a lot of them try the salmon. They really love it. So
I want to break. But in just a minute, I want to talk about what pho is, P-H-O. Mm-hmm. But I think plenty of our listeners know and plenty do not. So maybe we'll talk about pho, talk about some of the hidden favorites that you wish people would order a little bit more. And then I want to talk about sort of, you know, as you look going forward, the changes that have happened with much more takeout. Mm-hmm. I wonder how you guys feel about that, because I know how I feel about takeout. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Darasha Eats continues with our guest from Kwong Restaurant in Minneapolis.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North. Pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
DeRusha Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRusha.
Back with our guests on DeRusha Eats from Kwong Restaurant on Eat Street in Minneapolis. It's become a landmark in this community. And frankly, it's gotten national attention, partially because I think Chef Andrew Zimmern has spoken so highly about it on national programs and on his website. Kwong Restaurant, second generation Heather Mandanis, and third generation Andrew Trong with us here today. Pho. Before the break, I wanted you to explain what pho is. P-H-O. People say pho. Pho is...
Yep, the pronunciation is pho.
Pho.
Yep.
Good.
Pho is a Vietnamese noodle soup dish. The stock is made with beef bones, and so it's beef-based. And the toppings, you can put sliced beef, meatballs. Some people even prefer chicken, brisket, but a savory noodle dish, or noodle soup. Mm-hmm.
How, when you make that broth, like, is that just constantly going in your kitchen?
That broth takes 7 hours to simmer.
Wow.
So it's very hearty, a lot of depth, a lot of flavor.
And just going back in the kitchen and seeing all these big old pots and all these bones, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, the visual of it is, you know, picture giant pots.
Size of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think crazy. Two of us can fit in that pot.
Yeah. Right. And you're just slowly simmering all of that goodness out of those beef bones. Yeah. And then what else do you put in there?
There's cardamom, cinnamon.
So that's where the
onions,
depth
comes from. Yeah, there's a lot of seasoning.
Because you try different pho from different places, and there are a lot of places in Minneapolis and St. Paul that have pho, and where I see it more around the country too. The depth is what I look for. Like, mm-hmm. I like heartiness, I like beefiness, but it also has like a lightness to it. It's sort of a magical broth, really, to me.
Yeah. I think that the thing that you cannot skimp on is the beef bones.
Mm.
Because people can taste it.
Yes.
It'll taste more watered down.
That sometimes you do have that sort of broth where it tastes like nothing.
Right. And so we take a lot of pride in ours. So.
And making sure we clean the bones too, not only just throwing the bones in there, actually making sure we clean it and having that clean broth.
And then traditionally, pho comes with like the bean sprouts and the basil,
lime,
jalapenos. Do you like to load your, everyone sort of does it differently, which is part of the fun of it, right? Andrew, do you load it up? Do you put all the stuff in?
Personally, I don't like adding the lime.
No lime.
Or the bean sprouts.
Yeah.
Or the basil. I like the broth.
So that's nothing. You're doing nothing. Heather, nothing?
No, I load mine up.
You load it.
I love vegetables.
And usually there's like hot sauce too on the tables, right?
Yeah. There's hoisin sauce.
Hoisin sauce.
Sriracha. Yeah. The way that I like to eat my pho is I'll put a little bit of noodles on the soup spoon and then I'll take some of the broth and then I'll bring all that to my mouth. And then for the meats, I'll put a dipping sauce on the side. And then I'll dip the meat before I eat it.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It gives the meat a little bit of flavor.
It's funny to watch people the first time they eat it, right? Because you have this big mass of noodles.
Yeah.
And you're like, do I just like slurp in the noodles? Yeah. I don't know. I like it when people just go to town on it. Don't worry about it.
So I go to town on it.
Yeah. It's messy. It's fine.
It goes down.
It's so good. It's so good. When you look at your menu, are there things that you wish people would order more? Maybe some of the hidden gems that you wish people would know about, Heather.
One of my favorite noodle soups it's called Bong Bo Hui.
Oh, that is my favorite.
Oh, really?
Love it.
Yeah, because I love to eat spicy.
Yes.
So it's a spicy, it's also beef-based broth, and it comes red.
The
noodles are a little bit thicker. We call it like the rice spaghetti noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And
because then they suck in that juice so nicely.
Yeah. Mm. And it also comes with pork hock. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah.
And it's tendon. That's so good.
Delicious.
I would say, folks, you guys got to try the seared salmon as well as the sea bass soup on the weekends.
Because you add some things in for the weekends that are not available during the week, right?
Yes. Yeah. So some products are a little more time consuming than others.
Is that why it just takes longer to prep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than everyday item.
Nice. You guys have seen, I remember in the early days of COVID as you were trying to figure out the mass of takeout, there were times that people were waiting hours to get their food.
That is true.
Which, from your perspective, had to be like, feel like a disaster. From mine, observing it, you're like, oh, this is an interesting sign that like we're on the precipice of a pretty major change in the way that people order and they eat. Before COVID, you had takeout. And Asian food, I think, is often well suited for takeout, right? Because I live 20 miles from your restaurant, but I would come and get takeout and take it back to my home because it traveled so well.
Yeah.
You, I think, were well positioned to take advantage of what life is like today, right? Like, how much of your business is takeout and delivery?
We see more business in takeout and delivery nowadays than before.
Is it more than dine-in?
At this point, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How about that? Did you ever think that day would come?
No, because we used to have lines out the door for dine-in.
Right.
Pre-COVID.
And not so much now.
Definitely more takeout now.
Yeah.
And delivery.
Yeah. And so you do it all. You do like the third party service, does it?
Yeah. Correct. We use services like DoorDash, Uber, and Grubhub.
And do you like this? Do you not like it? How do maybe it's different generationally. Heather, do you like it?
I do. It's people love convenience. They love fast, and it works. And if that's how people choose to eat, and if the sales keep going up, then by all means,
yeah,
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Personally, for myself, I would rather see the customers and see how they enjoy our food.
Isn't that funny? The young guy wants you to dine yeah. in.
Well,
I worry a little bit that, like, part of the magic, you think about your restaurant and culturally what it means. Mm-hmm. So many, you go into your restaurant, it's one of the most diverse restaurants in the state. Mm-hmm. You will have Vietnamese people, you'll have Hmong people, you'll have Black people, you'll have Somalis, white people, you, mm-hmm. Latinos, everybody's in that room. And when everybody just eats in their house, it makes me a little sad that they miss out on some of that,
yes.
some of that magic that I feel your restaurant has really been on the forefront of delivering that sort of cultural, cross-cultural experience. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. That's my sales pitch for it.
Well, yes. It's also cool to see that diverse community because I get to learn. I mean, I talk to these customers all the time every day. Mm. And, you know, I'm talking to small people and seeing what they enjoy eating and what their day's about and then the Mexican or the
Latinos. South Minneapolis. Yeah, we have a lot of Mexican population.
Yes,
you're right across the street. There's a big Latino grocery store yes. over there. And
so yeah. just seeing all these different
over the years. Yeah. And just seeing our regulars too.
Yeah. That's cool. It is interesting. I don't mind it, the takeout. Like, and it is the reality. I've lost mm-hmm. this battle. Like, people want the convenience. I don't know. All the TikTokers are like eating food on their dashboard. I'm like, what happened to eating food at the table?
Yeah.
But it's a new generation. You have to adapt, right? I mean,
Correct.
That's something that you guys have learned over the years. You do have to adapt as the customer changes.
Yep.
And you changed your systems to have more takeout, right?
Yes. We've actually built a whole door just for people to pick up our food, a window.
Right. Yeah, because you would have people sort of waiting for a seat on the one side, and then if you had all the DoorDashers in there, it was just sort of chaotic, right?
Yeah,
right.
It just helps with the flow of traffic and
yeah,
kind of creating more space for our customers.
Pretty cool. Quang Restaurant in Minneapolis is what we're talking about. A family that fled Vietnam during the war, escaped, got out of a refugee camp, brought into Minnesota, left for a hot minute and came back. It's an incredible story. When you look ahead and say, okay, you've got the third generation there. Eventually the third generation will take over. What do you hope is the future for your restaurant? Heather, what do you hope? And I'll ask the same of you, Andrew, but what do you hope the future is?
My siblings and I keep talking about what our succession plan is and if we even have one. We honestly would like to see one of the niece or nephews at some point take over and keep it going and keep the legacy going. It's something that we've worked so hard for and that we've built up over so many years. Growing up with my mom and for her to pass down to us. So we would love to be able to pass it down to them someday.
Yeah. Andrew, 24 you are, right?
So growing up, I mean, I have 18 cousins. And what's crazy is out of my 18 cousins.
So many kids. When you start with seven, like just the math sort of works out.
They multiply quick.
I mean, my grandma always reiterates this to me that I'm like, the only one that carries on the Trung last name. And to me, you know, this is our legacy. This is our brand. And you can't just let it go, you know. Everything our family has sacrificed, you just got to carry on.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm sure it's gratifying when you get the national attention and you get the food critics put you on lists and write about you. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's about family, right?
It's always been about family, so.
It's pretty cool. Like, to me, restaurants like yours are what make our community unique.
Yes.
And, you know, chain restaurants are going to do their thing. I love to see restaurants kind of start as one and become 10 and become 20. That's cool too. But a singular restaurant like yours that means so much to your family, but also means so much to those of us who live here, is that's the fabric, right? Like when you travel, you want to go to the restaurant like yours. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Don't screw it up, all right?
You're putting a lot of pressure on myself.
You have a little bit of time, right?
Well,
you have
people,
a little bit of time.
I can tell you that when you dine out, people love consistency. They already, before they even get to your restaurant, they already know what they're going to eat, what they're going to order, and they already know what it's supposed to taste like.
Hmm.
And this is why, for us, it's so important to keep that consistency going.
Consistency is hard, though, isn't it?
Very hard. That's why at least one of us always has to be there.
There's always a family member there.
Yes, to oversee and, everything before it goes out.
Yeah, consistency is certainly in recent years, as somebody who writes about restaurants, I've never been more nervous to recommend restaurants mm-hmm. because consistency is really difficult.
Yeah.
It used to be more of a given, I think, but staffing and all of this, it's all changed, you know?
Yes.
And it's expensive. You're running your restaurant. I mean, your price point is still like at a reasonable price point, but I'm sure it's hard, right? You look at the cost of everything is up, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard, especially with, like you said, produce, everything is
inflation,
going up. Inflation.
The trade with China now, so.
Tariffs.
Our suppliers are upping their prices and we got to react.
Yeah.
But
that's tricky. You want to be an affordable place.
You want to keep it affordable, open to everybody.
Yeah.
For as long as we can.
Well, most of your menu items are probably good for two meals, so.
Yes.
You don't skimp on portion size.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I just thank you guys and your family and the contribution that you make to our restaurant scene. But more than that, like, I think it's a cultural touch point and a chance for people to experience really an important part of the history, not just of this community, but it's part of the history of America when you think about your family coming here from Vietnam and the link of the local family that said, yep, we'll sponsor them and bring them to St. Cloud originally. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool story. If it wasn't for that, you think about that. If it wasn't for that one family in St. Cloud, what would your life be?
Exactly.
Who knows?
Who knows? Probably still in Vietnam.
Or you'd be stuck in California or something. That's no good.
Yeah.
No good. People, when they travel, and people who haven't been there, go check it out. It's called Quang. You can call it Quang. You can call it Wang. Whatever you like. Right on Eat Street. I have to say, I love your design and your new logos and everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
It is part of that challenge of being a 3-decade-old operation, but still seeming fresh, right? Like that's going to be part of your job in the third generation, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for coming in. Heather Mandanis and Andrew Truong with us.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you. Awesome. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason@Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.